Novelist Terry McMillan uses a familiar creative device to help many of her female characters face their fears: reinvention. We saw this with protagonist Savannah Jackson in the New York Times bestseller Waiting to Exhale. When readers met her, she had just relocated to Phoenix from Denver and taken a pay cut for a new job in a place she believes will bring excitement and some romantic opportunities as well. We see that theme of reinvention again in Georgia Young. She's the main character in I Almost Forgot About You. That is Terry McMillan's latest novel. The author will be in Atlanta tomorrow for a book talk and signing. Today, she joins us, so thank you so much for being here.
Oh, you're quite welcome. Thank you.
You know, there aren't a huge number of celebrity authors. I include you in that, but that, I mean, that's been around for a long time. Charles Dickens was a celebrity author. But when you are among that fairly small number of people, how do you still maintain your craft?
I don't write thinking that, oh, wow, this book would make a great film. I'm more concerned about, I mean, I take the characters that I write about very seriously and their lives and the situations that they're in and their emotional framework, all of it. I do a lot of research to make sure I know who these people really are and what they're going through and what their dilemma is. And I am not thinking, I don't even think about myself when I'm writing. I think about the people on the page because their lives are what's important to me when I'm writing, when I'm trying to tell their story, which is why most of my books are character driven. I really have to let myself go in order to jump inside of their skin. And when I do that, I'm not thinking about what I'm going to have for dinner or Hollywood. I'm not there. That's the last thing on my mind. Even when I finish a book, even though this one I think would make a good movie. Only because, but it might not. I mean, if it does, fine. If it doesn't, it's okay.
What is that like, that losing yourself? What's that process? What does that feel like? What is that like when you sort of lose yourself in the characters you're like writing?
Well, I think I would like to think that most writers do that. Otherwise, how can you get inside of them? I do these profiles of my main characters so that I know so much about them, probably more about them than I do myself. I know what grades they got in elementary school and their favorite color and what upsets them and how many times they've been in love. Do they lie? Do they cheat? Do they steal? What's their biggest secret? And what they wish they could change, what they wish they could fix. And if they could be someone else, who would it be? What they like about themselves and what they don't like, and what their biggest challenge is right now in this story at this very moment in time. And from there, I go. I know their astrological signs.
Huh. How difficult is it then to let go of these characters once you've finished writing?
I wake up in the morning when I'm in the throes of telling a story, and I mean, I can't wait to find out what they're going to do that day and what's going to happen. I don't know. And I just let them, it's like I'm like the conduit. You know, the story filters its way through me and it comes out on my fingers on that keyboard. But I see it, I'm listening to them, I'm hearing what they're saying, I'm watching, and I'm feeling what they're feeling. I'm putting myself in their shoes. Otherwise, it's just really phony. And I'm just telling you their story from my perspective, and that's not what I do. I don't think a lot of writers do that. Or if they do, you can tell they're showing off. And I don't write to show off. My characters' lives, I take them very seriously, even though there's humor in my book, because I know depressed people who still laugh. Hmm. You know, and you can still find some joy in some things, just not maybe a lot of it. But you know, we're all going through something, and I just pick characters that are on the brink of making some kind of, they have to do something, or things are going to stay the way they are, and the way they are is not what they're pleased about.
So have you ever...
Like most of us.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I wonder, since you're talking about how you can't wait to find out what's happening to them, have any of your characters really surprised you with...
Oh, yes.
Can you give me
Georgia?
Your new Dr. Georgia Young in the newest book.
Yeah.
Which part surprised you?
I don't want to tell it.
Oh, it's a giveaway, huh?
Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of things, but for the most part, I mean, I was shocked. I was like, okay, Georgia, do your thing. I'm just typing what you're telling me to say and what you're doing, and I'm going along with it. That's it. That's the beauty of, that's how I know I'm not trying to, it's not a crossword puzzle, and I'm not trying to design a story or make my characters do what I want them to do. They tell me what they want to do, and I just respect them and I listen to them because they become real people. They are three-dimensional people by the time they're on this page. And I just follow their journey, and I'm not going to have a character do something that's out of character. It doesn't work that way. I mean, sometimes as real people, we do things that are out of character, but we often pay for that.
But do you want to return to any of these characters and find out what happened to them next after the end of the book?
No, I tried that with Waiting to Exhale, and I was pleased with it, but I was writing a different story. And I realized that the women where I left them at Waiting to Exhale, it lent themselves to the story that I wanted to tell. And so I told it. Getting to Happy. But other than that, no, because there is no, everything isn't like some gift that's just wrapped up in the end. Usually, I would think that a character, if they're at D on the alphabet, if they get to F by the time the story is over, they've made progress. And I don't care on what level it is. It could be emotionally, physically, whatever. But something, there's been movement in their lives, and they're better after the story ends than they were when it started. I have no idea where that's going to end up, but all of our problems cannot be solved.
If you're just joining me, my guest is New York Times bestselling author Terry McMillan. Her latest novel is called I Almost Forgot About You. How do you choose what to read from your books? When you're going to read an excerpt at a book talk, how do you pick?
Well, let me tell you, that's what I'm going through now. It has to be early in the book because some things later don't make sense.
Yeah.
So it's usually about at least, in this case, probably the first four chapters, maybe five. But in order for them to make sense, there's certain parts of the first chapter that I have to read. So that's why I'm trying to juggle how I'm going to do this. But also, I'm going to, I think, 15 cities. I can't stand reading the same thing at every reading. So I'm going to juggle it. Just to break it up, because otherwise they start getting on my nerves because I know they aren't real.
Do you do the book tours? Do you have to grit your teeth to do them?
Oh, no. The only thing I'm gritting my teeth about now is if my clothes are going to fit in my garment bags. Seriously, I had to throw them on the floor today to see. Sometimes you have to do television interviews and you have to do things sometimes during the day. And then in the evening you do a reading. But I love, that's the best part of this, is the audience. It's the best part of all. I love standing in front of an audience and this call and response thing that happens a lot of times in Black churches. And sometimes people will, and Black women in particular, will say, girl, I hear you. Or say it again. And I mean, it's so much fun.
They call out while you're reading?
Oh, yeah. They'll say, preach, tell it, or whatever. And women do this. For years they've been doing this. I expect it. If there is no reaction, I know something is wrong. Oh, but for the most part, I love reading aloud. And plus, I change my voice, the inflection, everything. I can sound like a guy. I can sound like a little kid. But I've learned over the years that I do this without really trying to do it. It's not a conscious thing. I've done it over the years. And it's actually a lot of fun. But that's how I hear it when I'm writing it. If I'm writing from a child's point of view, it's not me writing as an adult trying to figure out what I've become 6 years old.
And you hear the voice in your head while you're writing?
Yes, yes, yes. And in this book, I had these little twins. And I just, And I mean, I've been around kids, so I sort of know the difference between a 6-year-old and an 8-year-old and what they say and don't say and the knowledge that some of them have, even though some of them now are a lot smarter. But these kids were too. But that's the beauty of it. And the questions that people ask, it's a very intimate thing, regardless of how many people are in the audience. It's very intimate, and you don't get that when you're sitting in front of your computer telling a story.
That is best-selling author Terry McMillan. Her latest novel is called I Almost Forgot About You. You can meet her tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at the Buckhead Barnes & Noble in Atlanta.